the Narrative.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Orc edition of Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul Murphy, your host for the Alabella Lost Souls podcast. I'm joined tonight by Chris Morgan and Ricky Addington.
What?
It's finally happened.
And Val Heffelfinger.
I'm not crying, you're crying.
Orctober.
Beautiful.
November.
Yes. November? Okay, I'm behind that.
The long-awaited Orc Codex.
Will it live up to the hype?
I think that Orcs automatically... Well, and look, I wanted to address kind of the hysteria around some of the Orc players' reaction to Orctober taking this long for them to see some stuff about the book. You know, it's a very passionate group of players. A lot of people consider themselves Orc players have been Orc players since they got into this game. That's why they got into the game and whatever. I get it. I do get it.
It's a very diplomatic way of putting that.
I think the wait is also going to be worth it because there's a lot of good stuff in this book and these folks are going to be rewarded for their loyalty.
I got to also say, though, it's a really weird look for Orc players who are generally regarded as some of the most gregarious, outgoing, fun, awesome, handsome, well-spoken podcasters. I mean, Orc players and Warhammer players out there to be out there and so salty. And I think there's going to be a little bit of sweet.
Whatever. It really is just the anticipation and not knowing how to handle it. Whatever. But we have had a couple of major releases for Orcs this month, and the Orc Codex will be going off for pre-order when you're hearing this Saturday. It's going to be, when you hear this, probably for the first time, it's going to be on a Saturday.
I'm going to go limited edition.
They have to lock me in the Tower of Amareo anytime there's something potentially Blood Angels coming up because of the frothing madness that comes. So
it is unbearable.
I just want to say I empathize out there. I mean, I really can. But I really do think that this codex has a lot of what we've been looking for. I mean, it's jam-packed with all the cultures, you know, all the clan rules, stratagems.
Is it culture or culture?
Strategy. I think there's an R at the end,
there
right?
Is. There is.
It is culture, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But it's spelled differently in the front end. The back end.
Okay. I'm trying to, you know, librarian taking notes here. This orc spelling always presents some unique challenges to my duties over here.
So, Jim, with multiple ways to build the list, I don't think there's going to be a one just template. And that's what I look for when I'm building I'm deciding if a codex is like really, really cool or not. It's how many army lists can I build out of it and feel like I could succeed on the table. And I think the orc codex is going to have more than just a handful of lists you can build.
Yeah, and that's my favorite part about playing Imperial Knights. It's like, do I take five knights with a battle cannon, or do I take four knights with a battle cannon and an errant? You know, I'm being facetious.
You're
there.
Like,
we don't have a lot of variety. So.
Well, there's a ton in here when you factor in like all the different things that the orc clans can do, and then when you factor in the stratagem like suite of things you can pick to combo out on. And then with, say you want to play a different clan using a speed freak type build or whatever, that you can do something like that. You can go all mechanized, you can go all boots.
One thing I've always felt about orcs is that they're kind of like, and I don't know if it's like this in the book, but they're kind of like Drakkari in the sense that there are very different armies that like different people gravitate to. And one thing that's kind of awful is that for a long time, many of them have been bad. So like, can walls or like your dread mobs, you got your speed freaks, the green tide, free Buddhas, you know, there's all kinds of actually like little sub, you know, versions of how orcs can play. So that even though it's one faction, to me, it's always felt like it's actually got a lot of diversity and different ways you can go. The problem is the rules haven't been there for a long time. Well, maybe never.
Let's go down the list of some things that may be new to people, especially if you haven't paid attention to, or it's been a while since you cracked open the index. Or whatever, the Daka 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 rule. If something has this ability, each time you roll an unmodified hit roll of a 6 for an attack with a ranged weapon made by a model in this unit, that hit roll succeeds regardless of any modifiers. In addition, immediately make an additional hit roll against the same target using the same weapon. Those hits can't go on to generate additional hits, but you know, automatically hitting is good. There could be conceivably things where since you're an orc and you need a 5 or a 6 to hit anyway, then things with minuses would make it to where the hit wasn't attainable to you.
Yeah, that was a problem in the index. That was a big problem.
I know that there is at least one orc player out there who, if it was continual sixes, we would never exit the first shooting phase.
I don't know.
It would just keep happening, and you would have to concede.
With how many shots they're going to be able to put out, we may never leave the first shooting phase as it is.
I'm the longer yeah, we progress on the table, I actually am an advocate of the dice rolling apps and and milestones to reach.
I was going to say that's about to get a whole bunch of new downloads.
Different conversation, but so the here we go. This is, I mean, I know this has been on the community page, which by the
this
way, you can see some of the stuff on the community page. You can reroll charge rolls for this unit that has here we go. When doing so, you can reroll all or any of the dice. Whereas before, you'd have to reroll. Say you roll two dice and you got a six and a three, and you need or whatever. Now you can just reroll that three.
You know, that's like Eldar rules writing right there. That's fantastic. That's what like Farseers have been doing to me in the psychic phase for 100 years, and now I can now because it's about 55. It's around 50% just rerolling both dice, and now the percentage success is just going to be way higher making those charges.
Well, let's think about it too.
That was on a 9-inch charge, by the way. That was part of that.
You were going to spend a command point to reroll one of those dice if one of those was a six. You weren't going to use your Irigo ability. You're going to burn a command point.
Yeah, okay. But let's say you're in the first round of the LVO. Yeah,
every time you do this, it's a free command point. This ability, it's not even a stratagem. This ability is essentially a string of free command points for you.
Yep, it's amazing.
The next thing is the mob rule, which is using leadership. When using leadership characteristic of the unit, you can choose either its own leadership characteristic or you can choose the characteristics to be equal to the number of models in the unit. Or the number of models in another friendly unit within 6 inches that has this ability. I think that's the same.
Yes.
The speed mob rule. The first time this unit is set up on the battlefield, all the models must be placed within 6 inches of at least one other model with this unit. From that point on, that's going to be for units of vehicles. Then they can break up. What we see with Helvern and that kind of stuff. That's the base rules. That's for not, that's without committing to a clan or whatever. That is just page one, Newark rules. And I think I'm already kind of impressed.
Like just even adding that to Index Orcs, you got a better army.
Yeah, that would do for some. I like right there. Good.
Gazgul is of course in here. He is still big boss orc. He is now from the Goth. Well, he's not now from the Goth clan, but now he's a Goth with the Goth rules, and we'll talk about that in a bit. I think Gothic. His points may have changed a little since the Index. What do you have? What do you have? Gazgul as in the Index?
Got him at 215.
He is now 235, so he's gone up by 20 points. I think his rules have otherwise pretty much stayed the same, though, other than he is now a target for stratagems and the clan ability.
Which is saying something.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still surprised. I don't know. I see 215 on a character model, and I expect a lot from a character like that.
Well, Gaskell's got 8 wounds, a 2-plus save, a 4-plus invulnerable. He has 5 attacks with his custom claw, and the custom claw doesn't take a negative to hit, so he's not minus one to hit with this power claw.
What's the profile on the custom claw? Did that change?
And he's hitting on twos, right?
Twos times 2 strength, so he's strength 12, neg 3 AP, 3 damage flat.
I'd pay 235 for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the goth trait gives him another attack, and he also gives himself another attack on the charge. So,
and then what is it? Exploding attacks on sixes?
Is that something that goths do? That could be true.
Okay. So goths, no mucking about. Each time you roll an unmodified hit roll of a 6 for an attack with a melee weapon made by a model with this culture, immediately make an additional hit roll against the same target using the same weapon.
Then yes.
These additional hit rolls cannot themselves generate any further hit rolls.
And a lot of people were pretty excited to use the new psychic power that was on the community page too, which gives him +2 strength and +2 attacks as well.
+2 attacks?
Yeah, I do believe so.
The straight 3 damage with no neg to hit, I'm digging it.
Like what was it called? It was Fists of Gork, which is adds 2 to the model's strength and attacks characteristics until the start of your next psychic phase. So that would get him to strength 16?
What the orcs are lacking, you'll see this in a lot of the leader characters, they don't have those auras of like rerolling ones.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be losing a little bit of insurance there with some of these characters, but I think they make up for it in their aggressiveness with what we're just talking about. String 16, flat 3 damage.
You know, it seems so weird now, but we live in an age where you kind of take re-rolling things for granted. Do you remember back in the days when we just rolled the dice once and had to kind of accept what happened? Like, let's take a step back and think about that. So the orcs have that, but instead of getting the re-rolls, they just get an extra die, or dice, if you're in England. So, I don't know. I don't feel like that's a lose. I feel like maybe that saves time.
Could be, and they'll need it. So the rest of the characters, are all the named characters are in here associated with the clans that they've been historically done. So like Boss Snickrot is a Blood Axe. Zagstruck is a Goth. Zagstruck is pretty cool.
Yeah. So yeah, can you read Zagstruck? I wonder if he's got any changes.
Well, okay. So I don't know about changes because I haven't seen him in a while, but he does have 6 attacks six wounds. And he's got, and we'll see this in a couple of different places, but his... the Vulture's Claws, each time the bearer fights, it can make no more than 3 attacks with this weapon.
They gave him an extra one with that. It used to be 2.
It used to be 2.
Oh, pretty good then. He'd be coming in at strength 8, neg 3 AP, but with a D3 damage. No negs to hit with that either.
Does he still buff other Storm Boys?
He does. Friendly Goth Storm Boys units automatically pass morale test.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still got the cyborg body?
He does, with the 5+, feel no pain. Very cool. You cannot make a Doc's Tools roll for this model. Yeah, I know. He doesn't get the extra stuff. Full throttle. When Boss Zagstruck advances, you can add 6 inches to his move characteristic instead of rolling a dice. But if you do, roll a d6 at the end of the phase on a 1, he suffers a mortal wound.
Interesting. That's a little bit different than what he's currently got. That one lets him advance and charge.
He's got the Storm Boy Strike, which allows him to deep strike, be held in reserves.
What? Yeah. Could we please go to Storm Boys? Immediately, as fast as you humanly possibly can?
I will do it. I'm skipping a lot of good stuff, though, to go to the Storm Boys.
Nope. We'll have if to come Storm back. Boys can deep strike again, that's crazy.
During deployment, you can set this unit up flying high in the skies instead of placing it on the battlefield. At the end of any of your movement phases, the unit can plummet onto the battlefield. Set them up anywhere on the battlefield more than 9 inches away from any enemy models.
Now you can jump somebody else.
That's ludicrous. Well, guys, I'm going to go to bed. Been nice chatting with you.
Dream of Storm Boys. So
watch his PayPal accounts. There's going to be a lot of Storm Boy purchases coming up.
Now let me
there's
go
already,
back.
There's already 60 on 32 millimeters in my closet, guys. Don't worry.
Val's going to light some candles around his bed tonight. Just think about the Storm Boys.
Pull them all out one at a time and give them a special name.
So here's what I want to talk. This is the HQ that I'm particularly excited about. The Deathkiller Wartrike. You guys have heard me say that, you know, I think this is going to be a cool model, a cool addition to the Orc Army. It is movement 14, hits on a 2+, strength 5, toughness 6, 8 wounds, 5 attacks. It's got the Speedwog, friendly clan, biker, and vehicle units within 6 inches of this model at the start of the charge phase can charge even if they advance this turn. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. He's a war boss for, you know, the speed freaks.
He has the Fuel Mixagrot once per battle. When the model advances, add 6 to the move characteristic for the model instead of rolling a dice. And then he does blow up on a 6.
He does blow up.
Yeah, it's a small blow. Blows up on a 6. Things within 3 inches suffer 1 mortal wound.
Listen, there's nothing more orky than exploding. So we're good with this.
The Snagga Claw, it is a melee weapon. You can reroll wound rolls for attacks made with this weapon. +2 strength, -2 AP, D3 damage.
And what was his base strength?
5.
Okay, so he's strength 7. All right. So he's not as tanky. Mm-hmm. He's not as much of a beast as a regular old war boss is, actually.
Well, it's kind of like what we were talking about with the Speed Freaks on our previous shows. Like there is a type of war trike or whatever it's called that when you successfully charge, you get to deliver mortal wounds.
That's one of the wagons of the new buggies.
Something speed wagon, busta buggy.
The
Deathkiller
Wartrike also has a killer jet. The killer jet
on.
Has 2 profiles. It's either assault D6 at strength 5, -1 AP, 1 damage that automatically hits its target, so it's like a heavy flamer, or a cut-up profile. Assault 2, strength 8, -4 AP, D6. A melta weapon, if the target is within half range of this weapon, roll 2 dice when inflicting the damage with it and discard the lowest result.
But that one doesn't hit automatically?
It doesn't, so you're kind of you know, whatever.
Swinging for the fences?
But, I mean, come on. If you're charging on a knight or a Lehman Russ or something or whatever, and the neg one AP is not going to do anything anyway.
Well, I just love the idea of this guy rocking up with a bunch of those mortal wound buggies on the charge and just letting them advance and re-roll their charge distances.
Yeah.
Just, you drop that onto something, it's between 3 and 9 mortal wounds if you have 3 of them? Gosh, that just sounds fun.
So the weird boys, they still have the WOG energy at one of the psychic tests taken for this model for every 10 orc models, excluding Gretchen, within 10 inches of it when the roll is made to a maximum of +3. I think that's the +3. If the result test is 12+, the model immediately suffers the perils of the warp.
So it caps out at +3?
Caps at plus three, yeah.
Okay, so that's new, as is the Grot thing.
And was it models before, or was it units?
Yeah. No, it was models. It was orc models. Yeah.
So, but you'd charge around doing a bunch of mega smites. This is a little bit harder to do now.
I remember being lined up against like 7 or 8 weird boys in one list at one point, doing that with a bunch of boys around.
It seemed like
before, though, the weird boys were killing themselves before they got anything past 2 turns of psychic powers, because if they were surrounded, they were basically just always periling.
And the orkiest thing ever.
Yeah,
it was only 6 mortal wounds. That was the
it was one of my favorite things to do, especially before the rule of 3. You just have so many weird boys. That was actually a really good build. I miss the when I think of the D6 smite with those guys. There used to be an old model where they were like holding a weird boy like a gun, almost like all of his handlers were sort of pointing him at something while he like vomited psychic energy. That's what I like to imagine.
So this is important to mention that we were just talking about the Deathkiller Wartrike. It has the Daka 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 rule also. So were it to fire the assault D6, you know, you're not going to get the extra hits. Were you to fire the assault 2 cutta, that when you're rolling the hit, the sixes generate extra hits. So if you hit anyway,
it's more shots.
You might get some more shots. Yeah.
Yeah, not hits.
Oh, my apologies. Yeah. You're right.
We can't be greedy here, Paul.
Well, I mean, we're humble. I'm pretty much the only person that doesn't work for you. You think you roll more shots, you'll get more hits? No, I may as well just be rolling my normal dice.
So the Big Mech, the shock attack gun, the Big Mech also has Daka Daka Daka. Again, for when it matters, when you're firing heavy D6, strength 2 D6, before firing the weapon, roll once to determine the strength of all its shots. If the result is 11+, each successful hit inflicts D3 mortal wounds on the target in addition to any normal damage.
I've got a question I know a lot of orc players are going to be wondering out there. What of the fate of the Big Mech on bike? Or War Boss on bike. These aren't things that necessarily have models right now. Do they make, or even just Big Mech on foot without a shock attack gun? Like, did these guys make it?
There's a Big Mech in mega armor.
Okay.
So kind of on foot, and then that's where it stops. You're going to go to the index for that.
We're going to the flowchart.
All of the rest of us.
We're going to the flowchart, people.
There are people that are calling for the removal of the flowchart, and to them I say, boo.
To them, I say, not yet.
It could probably stand to get cleaned up a little bit, but, you know, whatever. I do like to go with at least one core manual.
You have at least
one. I just want my jump pack sanguinary priests. I don't understand why that's not a thing anymore.
Yeah. The original custom force field Big Mech is one of the finest models ever produced by GW. Just a little bit of hyperbole there all for you. He's a really cool looking guy. Look him up.
So boys and Gretchen are the troops. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Anything special for boys? You notice, like they used to get +1 attack for having a mob of 20 or more. Any changes there?
A choppa still gives you +1 attack, and then the green tide add 1 to the attack characteristics of models in the unit with contains 20 or more. So
yeah, cool.
So base 2 attacks, choppa extra, 20 models extra, 4 attacks.
So basically 4 attacks per.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay, I guess, if you're into that.
And if you're running Goth Clan, they can be strength 5, which means they're wounding knights on 5s, which is...
Yeah, it's one of those pre-game strategy things, right? Just, as long as they're not Ard boys, it's 1 command point, and they're strength 5 all of a sudden. Ugh.
And so
be so good.
That's a whole lot of attacks. If they're near their boy Gazgul, they're getting +1 attack. They're at 5. This is all stuff you could already do, but now they're strength 5 if you wanted.
Well, I mean, and strength 5 is one of those numbers, right? Like
big number. Yeah,
big number, because even up to toughness 8, 9, you are wounding on 5s and 6s now. So it's
and when you're rolling 120 dice base
with exploding 6s.
And well, yeah, with explode because they're goths. Plus, you know, you're hitting on 3s. You got a banner nearby. You're hitting on 2s. That's a lot of wounds.
Knob bikers. I think we'll see those again. I'm not.
No, that was one of the classics.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the points, but they are. They do have the. They've got all the rules. Here we go. Mob rule. Daka daka daka. And then they key in with that death killer war track I was just talking about to be able to kind of charge up and attack a lot. They have a 3+ weapon skill, which is pretty good. And you can give them all stuff from the knob weapon list. So you can probably spend as many points or as few points on these as you want to.
That flexibility is nice.
They didn't get any like -1 to hit or anything, did they?
Do you mean just like base standard?
for a long time, orc war bikes used to have like.
Well, they had
like
a 4+ invulnerable save.
Yeah, they had like a cover save they used to grant and stuff. Yeah. So I was wondering if maybe that came back.
It did not.
Dang it.
Yeah.
Can't be greedy.
Yeah, but they do have 3 wounds apiece.
Not bad.
So I think it's going to count for something. They have a 4+ save normally. I know that there are stratagems and stuff you can use to make them a little bit more survivable, I think. They're also going to reliably get into combat on turn 1.
That's pretty cool.
14-inch move plus an advance, so potentially 20, and then charge.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget, with the big FAQ 2, if you aren't getting the go first, then you can use your 2 command points for prepared positions.
Exactly. And here we go, rerolling charges. So without spending any command points, you have moved across the table an average of 17 inches with a reroll charge.
And we'll talk about Evil Sons in a second.
I'm digging it. Of course, the war bikes or regular war bikes are in there in case you just want to commit to the knobs. But I think that extra wound is pretty strong. But we shall see if it's worth the extra points. And then we get into the custom boom blastas, the shock jump draxtas. Those are the things we were talking about on last week's show.
The audience is crying out, how much do they cost, Paul?
All right, let's look at that. Okay, so the
this is a big reveal. People have been desperate to know what these new guys cost.
Yeah, we teased them with power level last week, Paul. How often do we talk about power level on this show?
Been getting their slide calculators out, trying to reverse engineer the power level.
This is important. Okay, I went ahead and flip back to the points, and this is going to be, I think, interesting to mention too, because we'll talk about some of the old hotness, the Death Coptas, here in a second. But the custom Boosta Blasta is 100 points. You can get them in squads of 3. This is what we're talking about with that, what is it, the speed mob rule?
Mm-hmm.
Where they start together and then can jump out. So that was the custom Boom Blasta. The Boom Daka Snaz Wagon is a base 95 points. And this does not include the war gear, but this is their base cost.
I wish I knew which ones those were.
So the Boom Blasta is the one with the rivet cannon. That's the one from the Speed Freaks that has the orc on the back with the cannon and the grots hanging off of it sideways. So the rivet cannon, is free. So, you know.
There you go.
That's good.
A tidy 100 points.
Yeah, 0 points. And then we'll see what each one comes with, armed with stick bombs and grot blasta. So let's see the grot blasta.
Those will be free too.
Grot blasta is 0 points. Yep. Then the rivet cannon. And 4 Burna exhaust. Burna exhaust is also 0 points.
Okay.
Well, I mean, the tailpipe is already on there. It'd be silly to charge extra for it.
Once you weaponize it, Ricky, then there's always a cost. but it's like a mini flamer. So assault D3 automatically hits.
Except there's 4 of them.
And there's 4 of them.
That's not a mini flamer, Paul. That's just what orcs call a flamer. The Burna. Okay. I assume the Burna hasn't changed.
Well, it's not D6. It's assault D3. Yeah.
Burnas are D3 for some reason.
Oh, apologies.
Can't trust an orc with a D6 flamer.
So then the stick bombs, I think, are also 0 points, but the rivet cannon being 0 points is pretty cool because it's a 36-inch range assault 6, strength 7, -2 AP, 2 damage cannon that has a grot gunner. Add 1 to the hit rolls for attacks made with this model's grot blasta. Oh, sorry. Nope. Sorry, rivet cannon, no grot blasta.
Oh, no, yeah, it's the Snaz Wagon or whatever. The one that has the basically the shock attack gun on it. That's the one that has the...
Yeah, the shock jump dragsta has add 2 to the hit rolls for attacks made by the custom shock rifle.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. My apologies. Got that little twist of
it. It's got the gatefinder.
That one's my favorite because you roll a 4+ on your advance and zoop, you teleport around wherever the heck you want to go.
What does that guy cost?
Shock Dump Dragsta, 108 points. It was the SNAS wagon that was 95.
That, I don't know. That might get it on a table.
Chris, that's the spiked RAM on the custom booster blaster. Each time this model finishes a charge move, select an enemy unit within 1 inch of it and roll a D6 on a 4+. That unit suffers D3 mortal wounds.
Yeah. I love it.
That custom booster blaster is sounding better and better.
But say it 3 times fast.
The rivet cannon being assault 6 and then have it having the daka 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 rule. I mean, this is just the gift that keeps on giving.
Once.
Well, yeah, what if you roll 6 sixes?
You could roll 6 sixes. I mean, that is, you're thinking like an orc. That's beautiful.
Yeah, thinking like one orc in particular. You know who you are.
That's beautiful. I think I like these. The platforms are so beefy. Like, they got a lot of wounds, decent toughness, obviously great movement. I don't know. I feel like they're probably a little undergunned for the points cost, but time will tell.
Four,
I know people
D3
are putting this
flamers
on the table.
Four.
Yeah, you gotta get there. Auto hit. You gotta get there.
It moves 12 inches.
Did you miss the part where Storm Boys can now deep strike again?
That's three of these. It's all crap. Give me more Storm Boys. Throwing everything.
Breathing really heavily over there, guys.
Sorry, I'm trying to mute the mic in between me.
You don't have high blood pressure, do you?
I do now.
Yeah, one of the neat things is these are vehicles, but they've got a decent number of attacks, 4 attacks, weapon skill 4. You know, whatever, you're able to get it in there, mix it up a little bit. And I like things that can compete in multiple phases of the game. And this checks off movement. This checks off melee. I mean, I shouldn't say check off. I would charge this into a unit of scouts.
Sure.
I'd charge about anything into a unit of scouts, though. That ain't saying a lot.
Well, you might not want to charge ratlings or something in his scouts, you know, whatever.
I mean, these models are undeniably cool.
I hope somebody would challenge ratlings in the scouts just because I want to see a game where that becomes a thing. Like, where the situation demands.
So many things have gone wrong.
If these ratlings do not kill these scouts in combat, we will lose this game.
We're done. We're done here. Just, just start drinking.
And I know I kind of mentioned the points erratically and called them different things, but we got the Boomdaka SNAS wagons and the Megatrack scrap jets. Scrap jet flight reimagined. That was an epic video.
Was the scrap jet spoiled on Warhammer Community? Do we know that one yet?
Well, I don't know if the stats were, but that was the one where the video where they showed it was their parody video about you know, if you believe it, you can happen or whatever.
Oh, so, yeah, the one where it's like, talking about hard times, overcoming obstacles.
It's the most beautiful model Games Workshop has ever produced.
Well, it's got a RAM. Cool. It's got the spike RAM, similar to the one we just talked about. Well, it's the exact same rules as the one we just talked about. You select a unit on a 4+ that they take D3 mortal wounds if you've end your charge move within an inch. It's got a rocket cannon, which is assault 2d3, strength 8, neg 2 AP with a flat 3 damage. And it has wing missiles. Add 1 to hit rolls for attacks made with this weapon against vehicle units. Subtract 1 for all others. So, not amazing on that, I'll just say.
The model's so cool, people will make it work.
Yeah, it looks great. Let's just keep focusing on that.
You can model it on a ramp, and then you got yourself a cool DACA jet.
You just strap on some like paper wings to it.
Listen, the sky is the limit when it comes to orc conversions.
I just, you know, it's, and here's the thing.
I was having a good
time. I love it. I love it, which means it's not going to be that great. If we know one thing, it's if Ricky loves a model, it's going to be okay at best.
Boom, Doc of Snaz Wagons here to save the day.
I'm going to convert the scrap jet into a Boomdaka SNAS wagon.
So I think, is there one more buggy left?
Well, the SNAS wagon and then the Rucka Truck Squig Buggy.
I can't even keep a straight face just saying these words.
Can we like just shake whoever's hand it was that came up with these names? Because these are brilliant.
He's kicking out hits like the Sloppity Bile Piper.
You know what? Man, there is some kind of like band that needs to be named after these characters.
I'm willing to bet he's just sitting in that office writing, thinking he'll never get away with this. And then he turns around a couple times and ends up in the codex.
You figure they'll buy something if I called it a Rucka Track squig buggy.
Oh. There's no editorial vetting of this. They're just like, I guess it's right.
Let me talk about the Snagswagon here for a second. It's got the mech special, which is assault 9, strength 5, negative 2 AP, 1 damage. I mean, I know these are hitting on fives and stuff most of the time, but they what the game always seems to do is make up for the orc ballistic skill by giving them extra volume of shots. And so if you're on the receiving end of a hot roll, it's total punishment. And now it's even doubled down on that punishment with the Daka 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 rule. Whatever. I think this is good.
Paul?
No, I know it's good. That's why I have my disconcerted sigh.
So the Rucka Truck squig buggies are the ones that was it's the larger truck.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if you can take this in multiple units. I don't. The other buggies that we've been talking about have the 1-3 for the model. The Rucka Truck Squig Buggy is also 1-3. It's 140 points base.
That's the one that looks like an F-150 that the Taliban got a hold of, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that one's cool.
It has the Heavy Squig Launcher. When attacking with this weapon, choose one of the profiles below. It's got a Bile Squig, which is Assault 2d6. Always wounds on a 4+ when targeting a vehicle or Titanic unit.
Uh-oh, that's not good for me.
Yep, it has no strength, though, so it only wounds on a 6.
Sounds like orc stuff.
For that, yeah. So against
Ricky, you can't see his face, but it got less worried.
Yeah. Okay. So against anything.
Oh no, it didn't. Because I have terrible
Titanic. Yeah. Anything against vehicle, not vehicle or Titanic, it wounds on a 4+. Anything that's like that is a 6+. So it's like a poison cannon off a hellhound or devil dog, whatever it's called. The Bitey Squig, Assault 2, Strength 5, Neg 3 AP, Damage 2, or the Boom Squig. Assault 2d3, strength 6, neg 1 AP, d3 damage.
These all sound like things that my wife would just be like, oh, it's cute.
So each model is equipped with a heavy squig launcher and saw blades, and each model's crew is armed with a regular squig launcher and a shotgun and stick squigs.
Stick squigs? Is that like squig grenades?
Yeah.
Yeah, squigs have to be the most versatile organism in all of 40K. I say this knowing a lot of Tyranid players, but really, I mean, squigs, it's where it's at. It's going to be the one thing especially. The hive mind takes from this galaxy and just like, you know what? That was special.
Yeah, so the...
Oh, and they get the squig mines, right?
And a squig mine, yeah. Once per battle in the movement phase, this model can deploy a squig mine. At any point during the model's move phase, place the squig mine within 1 inch of it and more than 3 inch from any from any enemy models. The squig mine is represented by the squig mine model, but does not count as a model for any rules purposes. So no controlling objectives, no preventing deep strike or whatever.
Squig mine model is definitely the thing I'm most excited for.
Thank you, Teleport Homer, for requiring them to put that in there because of people.
From the start of the next phase, the squig mine is detonated if any unit, friend or foe, moves within 3 inches of it. Resolve the detonation after the unit that detonated the model has ended its move. When the squig mine is detonated, roll a d6. On a 2-3, it inflicts 1 mortal wound on the unit that detonated it. On a 4-5, 3 mortal wounds. And on a 6, it inflicts inflicts d3 mortal wounds on a 4-5, and then 3 on a 6. Then you remove it from the table.
That's fun. And like just one of them, you're like, oh, okay, big deal. But if you have, you know, 3+ of these Rucka Trucks, you could potentially cause some mortal wounds to something trying to get onto an objective.
What's the points again?
140 is the base, but that's not counting the heavy squig launcher.
Ooh, we just lost the prices right for Simon.
Yeah.
the heavy squig launcher is 0 points. Let's see what a squig launcher is. Squig launcher also 0 points. So you're getting all those guns at no additional cost.
What's a stat line?
Have you ever seen about Defcopters?
Okay.
Hey, did you guys hear about Storm Boys?
Here we go.
Yeah, I was waiting for the Storm Boys.
Defcopter is now base 30 points.
Woo!
What was it before? Like a bajillion?
I think it was 55 or 60.
Ugh.
I'm looking that up right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. It used to be 55, yep.
55 points, yeah.
That's a bit. just a bit off the top there.
So and this, that's almost this Inceptor is one of those, level discount.
This is one of those units that I was like, for chapter approved last year, I was like, please, please just reduce the points, because this unit in the index has got like a ton of rules. It's really fun and it's awesome, but it's not like 80 points of awesome. So in chapter proof, they reduced the cost of its weapons, but they kept its base the same. This is really, really cool, because a lot of people have tons of these from the, it was a Battle of McCraig starter? No.
Battle of McCraig starter.
Was it Black Reach? Assault on Black Reach?
Assault on Black Reach. Thank you. So people have a ton of these models and they're really cool, and I'm super happy to see that the points drop, because if they stayed the same rules, they're really good.
They have 4 wounds apiece, 2 attacks. They do get the Scout in the Head ability. During deployment, you can set the unit up behind enemy lines instead of placing on the battlefield. At the end of any of your movement phases, they can swoop around to ambush the foe. Set them up anywhere on the battlefield that is more than 9 inches away from any enemy models and within 14 inches of a battlefield edge.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And they have a 14-inch move. Weapon skill.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Do they still have the bombs?
2 big shooters and 2 copter rockets. You're talking about like they'd be able to drop a bomb?
Yeah, they used to have a bomb in the index.
No.
Womp womp.
No. Oh, they took the big bomb? Did not.
Copter rockets, slugger, twin big shooter, spinning blades.
They always have all of those things, or those are options?
Each model is equipped with 8 big shooters. I think you can upgrade the big shooters to the rockets.
Okay.
Is the kill saw not an option either?
Nope.
Wow.
That's interesting.
It may replace its twin big shooter with copter rockets.
Was that because they just weren't on the model?
Has to be, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it must be. So we've talked about, you know, some of the clan cultures. There are some that we still don't know very much about. We've talked about the Goths. There's the Evil Sons that get their reroll shooting on 1. What about some of the other ones, like the Blood Axes and things like that? Like, what are some of the other ones?
Let's take a quick break. I know we were a long way into the show, and we haven't even gotten to all the cool units that got changed or interesting things to do with them yet. So let's take a quick break, then we'll come back and talk about some of that stuff.
I don't have to sleep.
Wrap it up. Hour 1 of the 4-hour Orc Codex Review Marathon.
Hold tight.
You are tuned into Forge the Narrative.
Hey everybody, we are back. Still got the whole crew with us that were just here a couple of seconds ago. Thanks for coming with us on this Orc Talk. We're all loaded up in the back of the Rucka truck.
Squeak buggy.
Well, I want to take a quick moment to talk about our sponsor too, Discount Games Inc. I'm sure that they will be quite happy to take your pre-orders for all Orc stuff and other stuff too. They have the whole range of Games Workshop products and everything else. You can email them. They give discounts on Games Workshop products, and they have ways within their store and loyalty programs that will allow you to save even more. So while you are drooling over this stuff, please check them out. I'm sure they would be great to get some orders from you. Please do that. Their link will be in the show notes, but it's discountgamesinc.com. Battle Wagons. I know, Chris, you were just mentioning the other cultures and stuff, and yeah, there are, and they're good. I'll say that. But there are three different battle wagons.
That's interesting.
Well, instead of just giving you a battle wagon with all the options to change it out, there are now a couple of different versions of it. So we've got the Bonebreaker battle wagon and the Gun Wagon.
What's the difference between them?
The Bonebreaker, I think, has the, you can put the Defrola on it.
Okay.
And a cannon on the back. So I'm looking at the pictures right now. I'll try to save some time. It's got a picture of the big super cannon or whatever on the top of it. I think it's called the Kill Cannon.
Yep.
Defrola.
Definitely looks like it would kill something, so that could be it.
And the Gun Wagon has a kill cannon, a zap gun, big shooters. I have to imagine that the transport capacity is probably... Yeah, here we go. So yeah, on the Battle Wagon, you can transport 20 flash gits or clan infantry, or folks in mega armor and stuff. You can put jump pack guys in the battle wagon.
Yep. Do they still take up 2 spaces?
They do. Yeah. But it's just, thought it'd be interesting to point out, especially when we get to, there's going to be a stratagem that allows you to attack out of the back of these things. Very important. So the gun wagon, and they actually will, the stratagem is specifically references, I think, battle wagons and trucks. We'll get there. But the gun wagon is keyword gun wagon, not battle wagon. And it has a 12 transport capacity. And so does the bone breaker, also has a 12 transport capacity.
So is there just a battle wagon too?
Yeah. It's got the base battle wagon, the gun wagon, and then the bone breaker.
Interesting. Does Bonebreaker have more attacks or something?
The Bonebreaker starts with 6 attacks. Nope, they all start with 6.
Huh. I can't wait to see.
They all have 16 wounds. The Gunwagon and the Bonebreaker are toughness 8.
Ah, so they got the hard case on them.
Yes, that is one way of describing this, I think. And they can both take Battle Wagon equipment list. Yeah, the Bonebreaker Ram add D6 to the attack characteristics of this model in the fight phase until the end of that phase if it made a charge move this turn.
Oh, so that's different from the Death Roller.
That is an addition to the Death Roller. The Death Roller just gives it a profile. You add 3 to hit rolls for attacks made with this weapon. So the Death Roller is hitting on a 2+. And then you can go with the Bonebreaker Ram, add D6 to the attack characteristic. I have to imagine that you add that to the attack characteristic and then do all your attacks with the Death Roller.
And what's the Death Roller's profile these days?
It is strength plus 1.
Nice.
Neg 2 AP, 2 damage apiece.
Ooh, it got better.
Way better. Hey, and you know the best part about this, guys? Now that there's 3 battle wagon profiles, that means we could put 9 battle wagons in our army.
I stopped myself from mentioning that after the Five Nights fiasco.
Yeah, I'm glad that someone else brought that up, because I'm just sitting back here thinking like, oh no, here we go again. Rule of 3.
Well, different names, completely different names, different profiles. The thing is, starts out at strength 8, so you'd be strength 9 with the Death Roller.
So you're wounding a knight on 3s. That's awesome.
And they have 6 attacks base, right?
Plus D6. Add D6 to the attacks, yeah.
And Paul's always rolling 6s.
That's
12 attacks.
Yeah.
Count it.
That's a win.
Yeah, hitting on 2s with that thing.
May I make a special request?
Yes.
Could we double back to commandos? Like after this Storm Boys thing, I need to know what's up with commandos.
All right. Well, I mean we could spend a whole other hour, I think, going through the units. But so the
battle
wagons.
No,
it's fine. It's fine. This is all good stuff. The battle wagons are now distinct different things, and they've got some little differences. The gun wagon has a periscope. I think that's kind of interesting.
Periscope.
No, you don't hear about that. You want to hear about
a single? What about the single scope? Does it have a single scope?
So the commandos, they have movement 6, weapon skill 3, blitz skill 5, toughness 4, strength 4, throat slitters, add 1 to wound rolls for attacks made with this unit's melee weapon when targeting enemy units wholly with or on a terrain feature.
Oh, that's new.
And then they are cunning infiltrators. You are able to, at the end of your movement phase, this unit can stalk from the hiding place, set them up anywhere on the battlefield that is more than 9 inches away from any enemy models.
Do they still get sneaky gets?
Yep. Add 2 instead of 1 to saving throws for models of this unit while they're receiving the benefits of cover or prepare positions.
How about points? Do they go up or down?
They're power level 2. Not that that necessarily down. Matters. So, commandos. What are they in the elites? Commandos are 8 points apiece.
It dropped.
Dropped by 1 point.
That's a big deal.
And got some new abilities.
That extra that is, one.
Can you ask like for it. More? I believe they call that the Eldar treatment.
They are now the Dark Reapers of Infiltrators.
The Dark Reapers of Infiltrating.
Calm down.
Oh, man. Well, hold on there.
I'll settle for Rangers. I'll settle for Rangers of Orcs. How big is one last one. How big is the max unit size? Still 15?
Oh man, you gotta make me flip pages? That's okay. People
last one.
Know. No, it's all right. We talk about looters. Oh, there's so much stuff. Commandos up to 10 additional, so yeah, it would be 15. Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
I see stuff the point.
Sounding so sad.
Oh, I'm not sad.
Good things happen.
Mob up a unit of 15 commandos, a unit of 10, it's 25 throat slitting commandos coming in 9 inches away. Not too bad.
Just gotta remember to keep one guy out of a terrain feature just to prevent that from being a thing.
If there was any question, they also have the Daka 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 rule. The
except it's Daka Daka Daka.
I'm sorry, it's getting late. That one for some reason. I can't stop giggling at that one.
The Death Guns, 48-inch range, neg 1 AP, damage 2, strength 7. Before the unit fires, you roll to see how many shots it does, and it's D3.
Yep.
This is going to come up later. Trucks got a point reduction, I think. So now the truck is base 59 points.
What?
Yeah, that went down significantly.
What was the truck before?
I can't see my index. I'm crying.
76. Golly.
Just think about that. Truck now comes with three free orcs.
It's beautiful.
So I can have two trucks for what I'd have for the old Rucka truck.
No, the Rucka truck is base 140. So
oh, gosh. Okay, so almost three.
Three trucks, yeah.
Sorry, Rucka truck. You look great.
But... No, Rucka truck's got different things, man. It's got a lot of guns on it.
Do trucks have any cool rules? Like, they used to have ramshackle. Did they do anything?
The ramshackles roll a d6 each time this model suffers a damage from an attack that has a damage characteristic of more than one. On a six, reduce the damage caused by the attack to one.
Does Rucka truck get to do that?
It does not.
Ah, see?
But that ramshackle rule, that's like Necron damage absorption.
Yeah.
That ramshackle rule is the most insulting thing ever. Because, like, you're like, every time you shoot it with your supercharged plasma weapons of the Dark Age.
I'm thinking more like the harpoon on Paul's Night Valley.
it just goes through the windshield and nobody cares.
Say, what's going on here?
What's the movement on a truck these days?
That's a good question. I went to go check to make sure that the Rucka truck did not have the ramshackle. The movement starts out at 12.
Okay. Yeah, so that's the same. Still pretty awesome.
Yeah, it can hold mega armor, folks, and jump pack dudes as well.
I think there's a lot of people out there who have their cults of speed that have just been getting blown up on the starting line for many years, long before 8th edition, that are going to be very pleased about this.
many bad moons.
And here's my point, Paul. This thing is 50 points open topped. For what I would 59. Pay for that.
59.
Okay. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I take that back. Everything I said is junk.
You got to buy the big shooter also.
59 points. I can still load this thing up with dudes with guns and outshoot a Rucka truck.
No, I don't see. Okay. Oh,
don't forget that you can swing with the dudes still inside the vehicle.
It's open top.
That's with the stratagem, yeah.
Okay, I pay the stratagem.
No, that's with the swinging. You can still shoot open top. It's open top.
I'm gonna shoot out of my open top truck that costs me nothing, and then I'm going to charge in, and then I'm going to swing with it. Look, man, and then the next turn, I'm going to jump out.
I told
Ricky,
you that.
You're very excited for a rusty, cheap truck.
Like, okay, I live in Appalachia. Of course, we're excited about rusty, cheap trucks. You don't even want to learn
where it is that. I've never heard of that.
That the truck has 10 wounds and the Rucka truck has 9.
What?
Someone go check on Ricky. I think he may have hurt himself.
Why would we get the Rucka truck?
To turn it into a truck?
Yes. Okay.
Emphasis on the truck. This is a Rucka truck.
Out there, world, if you buy a Rucka truck, which you should, the model's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. I love the model. But if you use it as a Rucka truck instead of just a truck, you're wrong.
Oh, you can upgrade the truck a little bit too with the grab a claw, wrecking ball, and that kind of stuff. But I think that keeping this thing point lean and then hoping to get some fortunate ramshackle rolls is probably where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we'll go with a ramshackle one more time. I'll roll a d6 each time this model suffers damage from an attack that has a damage characteristic of more than one. So a 2 damage weapon would qualify. On a 6, reduce the damage caused by the attack to 1.
And it will happen to you at the exact worst time it could happen. The orc player will roll the 6, and it will be on an objective. It will be right before it's getting ready to charge, and you overwatch with a melta gun, and you think you got him. He will roll it. It is the worst. No, not for me.
Listen, Ricky is dropping some real knowledge bombs right here. You have got to just count on this happening.
That accent is getting thick. You know he's trying. He's really excited.
I'm going to go borrow my buddies. He has so many trucks, I'm going to borrow every one of them. And I'm playing this
Ricky
so
is
soon.
Running in the red right now. I need to shift gears.
I should be drinking Monster while doing a Codex review.
Okay, so Stompa. Now we're passing the Jets. The Jets are all in there. Stompa has 40 wounds, but it's base 850 points.
Oh. Also, just be on the, put it on my critical hat here. They didn't fix the degradation table on this, right? Like that was on the community page, and it just breaks my heart. Like by the time he's down to those last 10 wounds are pretty useless. Yeah, he moves 6 inches. He's drunk. His pants have fallen down.
4 inches in the
air. Moves 4 inches. He's slurring his words. You know, I mean, just at that point, like, why even give him those 10 wounds? Just put him out of his misery.
He could still hold lots of objectives. He's a big model. Look, I'm not – this is the thing. Look, this is something that I don't – the Stompa looks cool. I've seen a bunch of really cool painted stuff with this. It's an excellent showpiece for your army. It's probably best saved for the display table if you're trying to win a tournament, because I think that for that level of points, you're pretty much giving up so much other stuff. But it's still got 40 wounds, and it's toughness 8.
Yep.
And it has the clan ability. So you can, there's going to be things that you can do, and it's got a transport capacity.
How many guys go in there now?
20.
Still 20. Still fearless, and still got a fearless bubble?
I think, yeah, the effigy, you reroll the morale.
Yep.
I mean, it's got some things going for it. It can fall back and shoot still. It's got the equivalent of the knight roll, but they call it bigger and stompier. Which is what I've always called the night roll. I don't know what the
for all the Stompa fans out there, there's still hope. Chapter proof, Forge World, who knows? Maybe they just go crazy, just say YOLO and drop their Stompa down to 400 points and we're back in business. Buzz Gob is back.
It's not a Castellan.
You just keep believing hard and it'll happen. That's the Orcish way.
Pray for Stompa.
It is not a Castellan, but it does have, I mean, you can really tear some stuff up in close combat with 6 attacks. You can stack extra rules on it. It does have the here we go and daka daka daka. I'm not discounting it. I'm just thinking that I don't think it's... I think that if you were to commit to taking a Stompa in a tournament list, then you are giving up too much else in this codex right now. There's just so much stuff that overshadows it.
You're going for favorite opponent, really, is what you're going for.
And then the new terrain piece, the Meg Boy Workshop.
This just mirrors that a very well organized orc workshop. Like all the tools
are, like, yeah,
hanging,
yeah,
perfectly. They're all lined. There's an OCD mech boy running that
Most
shop.
Most of them are not savages. And let's be real, it's the grots that are having to do it, or the grots get eaten.
That's true.
You know, that's like the most wisdom I've heard Paul drop in a long time. He should be the orc ambassador.
This got a mech grabbing claw.
Ambassador.
You're an ambassador. The custom job at the end of your movement phase, one orc vehicle from your army that is within 1 inch of this model can receive a custom job. If it does so, then until the end of the turn, the unit cannot shoot or charge, and the attack characteristics of the model in that unit is reduced to 1. But you can choose and resolve one of the following effects: more speed, more rivets, or more daka. More daka is choose one weapon, excluding the bubble chucka, that a model in this unit is equipped with. The next time any models in this unit fire that weapon, the weapon makes the maximum number of attacks. So if it was a heavy 2d6, it fires 12 shots. In addition, roll a d6 to see if the unit receives something extra special. On a 6, add 1 to the chosen weapon's damage characteristic for the rest of the battle.
My problem with this is that it's suffering from the same thing that the Imperial Knight terrain piece suffers from, is that why would you take a unit out of the game for a turn to get, I mean, granted, you know, shooting max, that's great, but realistically, you'd have just done that if you shot 2 turns.
You know, maybe so. I think that this is not going to be a competitive choice either. It looks cool. I think you get your speed.
Here's my upside.
Oh, go ahead.
My upside is you get one of these, you get yourself a speed freeze box, you got that scatter terrain, you got this hut, you got yourself a kill team board, guys.
There you go.
Boom.
I was thinking display board. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, it's display board fodder is what that is. That's
You're dead on. You're that is good.
The Imperial Knight one is the only thing I've ever actually felt bad selling to a customer, because like he really wanted. I was like, you know the rules on this. It is pointless. He's like, well, I got to have it. And I was like, okay. I feel like that's what's going to happen here.
So the Gorkonaut and Morkonaut.
Yes.
Yeah, they are
I don't like the hesitation.
I'm flipping to it because I want to make sure I say it right, because their power level are...
Yeah, I want you to focus on that. Yeah. So
the Morgannot and Gorgonaut are power level 15. That may come up later. But they have 18 wounds apiece and their toughness 8.
Okay. Yeah. All right, same.
They both have big and stompy. They can fall back in the movement phase and then do stuff, shoot and or charge in the same turn. In addition, it can move and fire heavy weapons without getting an egg.
Nice.
I mean, it's still Blitz skill 5, but, you know, whatever. It's better than 6s.
Now, I know the Morgannot got a buff. On the Gorgonaut, what's that Death Storm Mega Shooter doing these days?
It does a heavy 18, strength 6, neg 1 AP, damage 1.
All right. So, they bumped it up from 3d6. That's better. Definitely better.
Oh, yeah. A straight 18. I'm digging that. What did you say get bumped up on the Morgannot?
I'm pretty sure that's the custom mega cannon. It got a new name.
The custom mega Zappa or the custom mega Blasta?
Mega Zappa.
The mega Zappa is heavy 3d3, strength 8, neg 3 AP, d6 damage.
Whoa, that is much better than the mega cannon.
I love it when the rules writers use d3s for variable shot weapons. Like,
yeah, you're guaranteed you're going to get something at least.
Yeah, it really sort of reduces the variance a lot, so makes it a lot better.
So 3 shots minimum, so hitting on 5s, you should get at least 1. So the
Morgannauts and Morgannauts have they've got their Claw of Gork or possibly Mork. you can choose the Crush variant for their attack or the Smash, and the Smash works like Happy Feet. You make 3 hit rolls for each attack made with this weapon.
Except you got 6 attacks.
Yeah. So the Smash is strength of the user, so strength 8, neg 2 AP, 2 damage apiece, 18 attacks.
That's pretty cool.
Hitting on 3s at the base profile.
And the Crush?
Well, the Crush is times 2 strength, d6 damage, neg 4 AP.
Yeah, it's all the same. Dare I ask how much?
Okay, so the base points on the Morgannot and Gorgonaut. I've lost it.
I thought you were just building suspense.
9 points.
Wait, they cost 9 points?
No.
Hey, Ricky, did you know pigs fly?
The Gorgonaut, the Gorgonaut is 250 points. The Morgannot is 220.
That's a 40-point and a 50-point discount, respectively.
Hey, guys. I'm not joking. One time I played a game and a dude put a Gorgonaut on the table. I saw it.
45.
I saw it.
50.
Now you might see him.
You're going to see him showing up around turn 2.
Yup. Which is good because they're such a cool model. You know, remember when they came out, everybody's like, oh, they're cool. I ain't playing it though. So,
buggies have to do their time. The Gorgonaut and Morgannaut have done their time. Now they can be good.
Okay, we're a solid hour into the show. I don't know how it's going to edit out, but we're deep into it, and we haven't even covered all the exciting units.
Covered all of the cultures either.
No, see, Chris, we're not there yet. We got all this orc stuff.
But we've been all over the place. It's not like we've gone in order.
We are just in the units. I'm telling you, that's the point of what I'm saying. We've touched on a lot of the units, not even all the cool ones yet.
Yeah,
we're going to have to record part
stratagems, warlord trades.
Probably my fault.
Psychic powers. Jeez, Val.
Just blame Val.
No, where I'm going with this is that this book, we talked about all the build options that you have, and I mean it. I mean, we're just talking about cool units, and that all these units don't fit together all the time, but so that means there's tons of good build options in here.
It's like a whole own soup within a book.
I love the fact. Stew. Let's focus on this, that Chris is more annoyed that we are not organized and like that this is not, you know, that this podcast tonight is a little ramshackle is what I'm getting at. It fits with the army, Chris.
You rolled a success against my harpoon.
We are talking about the units. That's
all. Yeah.
We haven't jumped around. We've gone through the units.
Seriously, we're going to have to do part 2 to this like tomorrow night.
Oh, man. So this is just, again, this units, and this is getting in, now we're finally into the cultures, spelled with a K. Guns for Hire. Me. This is ours. Zog-off is their objective secured.
Zog it.
family-friendly show, Paul.
units entirely comprised of grots cannot get a culture.
Boo!
Well, the guns for hire is important because it basically says the flash gets can be included in your orc detachment without preventing you from getting the or not having a culture.
That's actually sweet. It doesn't break the detachment.
Yeah. Can be included in an orc detachment without preventing other units in that detachment from gaining the clan culture. They note, however, the flash gets themselves do not get it. But I don't think that's news to anyone. So real quickly, as we're talking about the Goths, each time you roll, I know it was a long time ago, but each time you roll an unmodified hit roll of a 6 for an attack with a melee weapon made by a model with this culture, immediately make an additional hit roll against the same target using the same weapon. These additional hits cannot themselves generate any further rolls.
That's not mucking about.
That's stratagem, Val. Don't jump ahead.
No mucking about? No, that's the name of the Goths culture.
Oh, that is right. Bad Moons, Armed to the Teeth. Reroll hit rolls of 1 for attacks made by this model with this culture in the shooting phase.
Interestingly, I think you're going to see a lot of Bad Moons looters out there.
Yeah.
What gives you that idea?
Well, I think that you're going to see a dramatic increase in number of hits of quality shots. So, I mean, that's a very strong. It may seem innocuous on the surface, but pretty strong. Evil Sons, the red ones go faster. Add 1 to the move characteristic of models with this culture, adding 2 instead if the model is a speed freak. So, you know, we were talking about earlier with that the war bike guy has a movement of 14. Now he's moving 16 if he's an Evil Son.
And the bikers.
Yeah, and then you add 1 to the advance and charge roll. So when you advance, he's moving an average of 4 inches instead. So now he's moving an average of 20 inches on turn.
Rerolling charges with a +1.
Yeah.
Rerolling charges with a +1.
Yeah. So add 1 to the advance and charge rolls will also work, for instance, if you have some Stormboy Evil Sons.
Yeah, maybe dropping in from Deep Strike.
Or a teleporter Mega Knobs.
I'd also like to point out that the Morkonauts and Gorgonauts have clan rules.
I think we're going to see a lot of Evil Sons out there.
Evil Sons, I don't disagree. Death Skulls, Lucky Blue Gits, models with this culture have a 6+ invulnerable save. In addition, you can reroll a single hit roll, wound roll, or damage roll for each unit with this culture each time it shoots or fights.
Sisters of Batworks.
In addition, infantry units with this culture gain the Disazar Zagoff, even if they do not have the troops battlefield role.
Well, that's cool.
That's actually really good.
Also good Storm Boys.
I'm detecting a theme here.
Yeah. Snake Bites, the old ways. Roll a dice each time this model with this culture loses a wound. On a 6+, the wound is not lost. If a model has a similar ability, e.g. the Super Cyborg Shiny Gubbins or the Ramshackle ability, you can choose which ability to use when the model loses a wound, but cannot use both. The Blood Axes, a unit with this culture gains the benefit of cover even when they are not entirely or in a terrain feature.
So basically, the one faction that Imperial Fist players are going, ooh!
Finally!
A unit with this culture gains the benefit of cover even while they are not entirely on or in a terrain feature if the enemy model making the attack is at least 18 inches away. In addition, units with this culture can shoot or charge, but not both, even if they fell back this same turn.
So that's like all of the Tyranid High Fleet abilities in one.
They looted the Tyranid Codex.
Oh, Blood Axes are my favorite. They make up the bulk these of my are collection. All that's awesome. Beautiful.
The Freebooters. They're all very useful. Add 1 to hit rolls for attacks made by models with this culture if another friendly unit with this culture within 24 inches has destroyed an enemy unit this phase. So they have a competitive streak.
And like, so people would think that that's just flash kits, but you gotta think of that in the context of like an entire detachment of orcs. So even if you had like shooter boys, then you have like a unit of shooter boys hitting on 4s. I don't know how good that is, but that still sounds like it might be cool.
Ludas yeah. Supercharging. So you have a kind of a bunker of probably 3 Luda squads. 45 Ludas used to be real popular. One Luda squad does some work, or a Morkonaut or whatever, and then
because it's 24 inches away, like yeah. That's probably one that you're not really going to see much. But I think it has some play.
Yeah, I guess. Well, you could also we're also thinking about this with the concept of a solo detachment or a solo culture detachment, which we know one of the strengths of this edition is when you start layering in that. So a Vanguard detachment of Freebooters and a battalion of Evil Sons or whatever. So, you know, different ways to layer this stuff in that we don't often talk about on the Codex read-throughs.
Bad Moons and Evil Sons it is.
Stratagems.
Yes.
There are 3 pages of stratagems, and I think they're all pretty good. So of the ones that, you know, that we kind of talked about in the pre-show or the been on the community page, you know, what do you think the standout ones are?
They're all really, really good. Just about.
Close your eyes, like throw a dart.
I like anything that lets me come in and put stuff where I want it. I like that it works on vehicles too. I think that's one of the best things about the teleporter stratagem is that you can just load up something full of boys and for one command point or however many it is, you can just put it in reserve and drop them all out at the same time.
Let's talk about the boarding action. This is one of the ones we were referencing earlier. This is a one command point stratagem. Use this stratagem at the end of the fight phase. Select an enemy vehicle unit that cannot fly and is within 1 inch of a truck or battle wagon model from your army. Any models embarked within that truck or battle wagon can make a single attack with one of their melee weapons against that enemy unit. So let's say you were to have a battle wagon with 10 Meganaws power claws in it.
Let's just, for instance,
for one command point,
a toughness 8 battle wagon that just appeared out of nowhere. Maybe charge 3d6.
Maybe teleport.
That's already doing a crap ton of damage on its own.
Then you get to, I mean, this is something you could do on the regular. Like we're talking about knights before or whatever. So let's say you charge a knight with this thing, but it is at the end of the fight phase. Maybe not charge, maybe knight's a bad example because the knight will get to swing on you before you get to do this. But for any unit, especially if it's even an assault-based unit, if that thing is there, it could be sitting there on one wound because they're not fighting with the vehicle's stat line. They're fighting with their own stat line. Mob up.
Yep. This one's from chapter approved.
This is another strong one. Yeah. Use a stratagem at the end of your movement phase. Select 2 clan infantry units from your army that are within 2 inches of each other and have the same data sheet. E.g. select 2 boys units or 2 storm boys units. If one of these units has 10 or more models and the other has 10 or fewer, the 2 units merge, and for the rest of the battle, they are counted as a single unit for all rules purposes.
I mean, one of my favorite index things to do is you mob up a unit of 30 boys with a unit of 10 boys, and then you jump them across the board. You got 40 boys. It's really sweet. And a mob up has all kinds of wicked uses, even more so now that you can really amp up the power with strats.
And just like with the Astra Militarum, that's going to be good with like ITC and stuff to deny kill points as well.
Another awesome one, get stuck in, lads.
Yes.
This is 3 command points, so not cheap. But when I read the whole thing, let's talk about what's unique about this. Use this stratagem in the fight phase when it is your turn to select a unit to fight, or at the end of the fight phase. Select an orc infantry unit from your army that has already fought once this fight phase to fight a second time.
It's pretty strong, Paul.
The difference there is select it when you choose to fight them or at the end of the fight phase.
That means
a lot of these are at the end of the fight phase, then you activate them again. This is more like an orc zerker.
That's correct. That is turning a unit of whatever you want into corn berserkers.
So what you're going to see when you're playing against the orcs is you're going to see him using command points, and then he's going to get down to 3 command points. He's going to be like, well, I'm out of command points. And he's going to just sit there, and you're going to be like, why isn't he using those? And then you're going to find out, and then half your army disappears.
I mean, we already talked about, you know, mobbing up and how the sheer volume of attacks that a unit of boys could have. And this is only for orc infantry units. So like that knob biker unit we were talking about earlier wouldn't be able to use this.
Let's also use this as another opportunity to say that if you're about to roll 300 dice or so in succession, then maybe you should consider the dice app.
The billowing exhaust clouds use this stratagem at the start of your movement phase. This is one of the ones. It's one command point. Until the start of your next turn, subtract 1 from the hit rolls for attacks made by range weapons that target that unit. You can use this on a speed freak unit.
Always handy.
Yeah, but you can't use it on your opponent's phase.
That's true.
In your movement phase. So whatever, but it's still one. It's one command point. And speed freaks, by the way, that's not a culture. That's a stat. That's a keyword on the data sheets. Loot it. This is kind of interesting. Was this on the community page?
I don't think so.
Use this stratagem when a vehicle is destroyed within 3 inches of an orc infantry unit from your army. Improve the save characteristic of that infantry unit by 1. A unit can only be affected by this stratagem once per battle, and once affected cannot be selected for the mob up stratagem. So that's important. If this stratagem is used on a Luda unit, from your army, roll a d6 on a 4 plus. The command point spent to use this stratagem is immediately refunded.
That's a nice flavorful little extra piece. I'm just imagining a bunch of Meganobs standing next to some really rickety mech guns so they can get to a one-up save.
Yeah, this is use a stratagem when a vehicle unit is destroyed within 3 inches of an orc infantry. It doesn't say friendly vehicle or whatever. It just says when a vehicle unit is destroyed.
All the more reason to take more trucks.
So here, the next one, Marie, is a combo piece, the Grot Shields.
Oh, my.
Use this stratagem after a clan infantry unit from your army, excluding units comprised entirely of Gretchen models, has been hit by a ranged weapon. Until the end of the phase, you can roll a d6 each time a model from this unit loses a wound if there is a friendly unit comprised entirely of clan Gretchen infantry models within 6 inches of it. And the Gretchen unit is closer to the attacking model than the target. On a 2+, the original model does not lose that wound, but one model in the Gretchen unit, your choice, is slain. Otherwise, the model loses the wound as normal.
So, Grots have become a form of drones.
Well, they've always been a form of drones.
Yeah, arguably, yeah.
That is phenomenal for anything that's starting on the... Now, it's going to eat up... It's going to eat up a lot of grots real fast because, you know, it's for every point of damage you're killing a grot. But, man, that's going to keep a unit on the board that you don't want to die, whether it's, you know, your unit of 25 Ludas, your unit of Meganobs, anything that might just be standing around. It's got some grot shields now.
The more Daka, talking about a combo piece, so you have your grot shields for your Ludas, then you go into the more Daka phase. Use this stratagem before an orc unit from your army shoots in your shooting phase. Until the end of the phase, that unit's Daka ability triggers on an unmodified roll of 5 or 6 instead of 6.
Double
the amount. Also, it's unmodified rolls of 5 or 6 instead of 6, so, you know, you're hitting a Kalexis on a 5, as an example. You're ignoring any negative modifiers to hit. It's fantastic.
Well, I guess that would be all. Yeah,
the ability triggers on an unmodified roll.
Let's go back to that. That's a good point. Let me go back and read that just so we can line that up. Daka. Each time you roll an unmodified hit roll of a 6 for an attack with a ranged weapon made by this model, that hit roll succeeds regardless of any modifiers.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, full steam ahead, hitting that Kalexis on a 5 or 6.
Take that, Alaytok Eldar.
We're hitting normal.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, as of recording, we're not hitting it at all. Literally impossible to shoot them.
Yeah, good point. There are, as I mentioned, 3 pages of stratagems. We can't get through them all right now. We're going to have another show on orcs. We are. No question, going to have more orc content coming. I want to hear what people are thinking from this, with their armies going. The show's not done. I'm saying I want to hear what people are thinking. That's going to help influence what we all talk about in the next show. And we'll get to some stratagems that we didn't hit before. The psychic powers, power the Wog discipline. 6 psychic powers, as we're going to see in every one of them. The jump has a warp charge value of 7. Orc infantry unit, select a friendly orc infantry unit within 12 inches of the psyker, remove that unit from the battlefield and set them up anywhere on the battlefield more than 9 inches away. Counts as being moved, so that's the same.
Mm-hmm.
Warpath. This is pretty strong. If manifested, select an orc unit that is within 18 inches of the psyker, increase that unit's attack characteristics by 1 until your next psychic phase.
I think the range got bigger.
18 yep. inches, extra attack. That's the same as Unleash Rage from Blood Angels 2.
Yep.
Which is something you always take. I don't know if a weird boy is going to fit into a lot of orc lists. Again, because there's so many things to take. I'm of the more boys, less toys school.
Well, didn't you miss the stratagem for weird boys?
We didn't talk about it.
Yeah. There's a strat there. It's 1 CP before the game. Allows you to take an extra psychic ability and cast an extra psychic ability. Basically makes you what used to be called level 2.
The warp head, that's what it is.
Yeah, so it just, you know, for no points, you're getting twice the amount of weird boy.
I like the Warpath. The Edbanger rolls D6 and compared to the toughness characteristics of the closest enemy model. If the result is higher than the model's toughness, it's slain.
Dang.
So you get it. But I think if you're an orc and you're that close to an enemy model that has a toughness 3 or 4, it's probably slain anyway.
Yeah, but you get like some awesome Eldar, Psyker, blah, blah, something.
That's a good point.
With, you know, a 3-up invul save, well, you know, and they can re-roll it. Yeah, and all you got to do right here is roll higher than a 3, and it's just straight up dead. You get, like, there's no save or anything.
Get another weird boy to jump you over there.
It's a lot of...
Why not? That's a lot, big combo, but hey, why not?
Fist of Gork, orc character. You cast an orc character, add 2 to that model's strength and attacks.
That's pretty cool.
I think we kind of talked about that earlier with Gazgul, but that is not bad. I think, though, that one of the strengths of the orc, the stuff in the orc book is that some of this stuff can affect tons and tons of models, and that just kind of amplifies the effectiveness of it. This is only on one orc character. I don't know, maybe you need it, but I think you're basically just doing that to buff up Gazgul at that point.
Or just a regular war boss with a power claw.
Yeah, yeah. I guess if you do that, okay, but if you can only take one or two of these, is that one of the ones you take?
No.
I'm not sure.
I think it's really going to depend on what you're planning on doing with them, right? I mean, the Boys Before Toys, I think, is going to be strong. It already is strong in some ways. But if you look at just the reliable nature of having someone like Gazgul with 3 damage weapons, I have a hard time thinking that against the right target, that couldn't be extremely lucrative, depending on how, say a Knight Castellan or whatever, right? Yeah. Gazgul is going to rip one of those up.
Yeah, when you actually, we absolutely have to make sure somebody, like beating down a 3+ invulnerable save guy, it always helps to have more attacks. DeCrunch is one of those progressive powers. Roll a d6 for each model in the unit. For each roll of a 6, that unit suffers 1 mortal wound. Then roll 2d6. On a 10+ roll, roll a d6 once more for each model in that unit. For each roll of a 6, that unit suffers 1 mortal wound.
You know who this is really good against? Orcs.
Orcs. Well, Tyranids.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've hit with that, I don't think.
This is the first time I've been nostalgic for templates. Remember in Fantasy Battles, they used to have a little foot-shaped crunch template.
Yeah, that thing was cool.
Yeah.
The Roar of Mork has a warp charge value of 8. If manifested, subtract 1 from the leadership characteristic of enemy units while they're within 18 inches of the psyker until your next psychic phase.
That's cool.
It's a bubble. I mean, that's of -1. I think that's a bubble of one additional model removed from a unit.
I mean, if we were nitpicking Fist of Gork, I would say Roar of Mork, probably never going to get used 100%.
Yeah. Warlord traits. Now, I've jumped over the relics, and that's one of the things we'll cover in the next show for sure. Warlord traits. Some of these are pretty strong. Add 1 to your warlord's toughness characteristic. You know, I don't mind that.
Nope.
Brutal but cunning. You can reroll hit rolls in the fight phase for attacks made by your warlord. That does not stink. In addition, add 1 to the damage characteristic of your warlord's melee weapons if in the same turn they finished a charge, move, were charged, or performed a heroic intervention.
That really doesn't stink.
Mm-mm. That's all in the same warlord trait.
Yeah.
That's my favorite one. Gazgul must take the Goth proper killy warlord trait. So the clans have their own warlord traits, and the proper killy is add 1 to your warlord's attack characteristic.
Of course. As if he didn't have enough.
Hey, everyone counts. And he's going to have his own private weird boy in his pocket.
Yeah.
Paul, can you have a look at one called Cunning but Brutal?
Cunning but Brutal. At the start of your first battle round, but before the first turn begins, you can remove your warlord and up to D3 friendly clan units from the battlefield and set them up again as described in the deployment section of the mission you are playing.
Are you kidding me?
If you pick up a transport, units embarked inside it remain so when it is removed and set up again.
Oh my goodness. That's crazy.
That's good.
It's a redeploy.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? Like, you're only saying that because you play Eldar. You're like, oh, whatever. You could just pick. Of course, you can just pick up your army and move it somewhere else.
No big deal.
But whatever. Like, orcs have never had anything like that. Are you kidding
me? I hear you.
Are you kidding me? Armies would. No one else has that. I'm beside myself. It's late. I'm emotional.
Having an out of body experience.
Where I was going with Gazgul before, if you pick a warlord that has a predetermined clan, then they have to take the specific warlord trait. If a named character with a specific clan keyword is your warlord, they must be given the associated warlord trait for that clan. So if you take Zagstruck or whatever, you know who we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to downplay the kind of a brutal that Val's really excited about.
I mean, that's great. We're talking about like units that are like 30 models big, you know, like,
yeah.
You set everything up to go and try and kill it. Now it's on the other side of the deployment zone.
Yeah. Or you've got 3 battle wagons.
Or you got 3 battle wagons
with 60 boys in them.
Or like you've set up at the start of the battle round, but before the first turn begins. So you've set up on the line, ready for your first turn alpha, charge across. Well, you didn't get first turn. Guess what you can do? You can now set up 4 inches back out of range of everything. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Man, okay, there's still a ton in this book. I know we're
so
deep,
much, man.
No, we're deep. We're deep into the show, and we'll probably have to wrap it up right here, but we may have an emergency episode before next week to talk about more of this stuff. Maybe we'll do a live stream on YouTube or something. I don't know, but there's just so much in this book. This is well worth the wait. I know you're not going to get it in your hands until November, but it's worth it. Like they've done a good job with this book.
I'm very excited about this book.
I am. It's okay, I guess.
I am so excited for this book. It's unbelievable. It's so good. It's so good.
It's going to be interesting to like when you sit down. This is one of the things. When you sit down, you try to figure out what your first list is.
My first list is going to be 6,000 points.
Well, right, yeah. I'm gonna take that, and then you're 600 points over.
My first test game is gonna be an apocalypse game because I just can't make my mind up. And I know this sounds like really
well. How else are you going to see what's good? You know, you just got to put it all out there, man. Don't apologize for that. Put it all out there. See what it works.
I don't want to sound like gushing, but I just want to put this in reference. Like Index Xenos 2 was probably the best orc book that's been released in a generation. Like, not even close. Not even close.
When did you start playing?
I started playing a third edition, okay? I remember opening up the third ed codex and seeing that Choppas didn't force Terminators to make their saves on a 4+ anymore, and I knew something was up, and it was going to be downhill from there. Boy. And this book has just got so many tricks. It's got points reductions. It's got new rules on units that were already pretty good. It's got we covered a third of the strats.
Got wrecked truck squeak buggies.
So right now, I'm so happy. Val is in that area when we were recording. Somehow he's combined it when I found out Hawk Shroud's tactic and the Dark Angel's stratagem of Weapons of the Dark Age. So my excitement level at those two things combined is now Val.
With our powers combined. Well,
thank you all for hanging in with me for this long show here. And again, we just scratched the surface. We haven't got into too many of the combos or what you can do or what a sample this is going to look like. I think this will be something that people can brew on for a while, and we'll see multiple good builds come out of this.
Yeah, I was half kidding with part one of four, but I think it.
You were 1/4 part kidding?
Yeah, I think we're about to pull an all-nighter here again sometime soon. I'm buying some battle wagons. This is happening. Y'all going to make an orc player out of me on this one.
Well, I mean, you've already got your green color down.
Oh, God. No. Yeah. Crap. That's too much green. I can't do it.
Hobby segment will return next week.
With how to paint orcs.
We covered that part of that last week. You guys have a good rest of y'all's night, and we'll talk real soon.
Sounds like a party.
Good night.
Corner.